a martial arts movie podcast.
Ha-ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room!
Yeah! Featuring drunken Thai boxer, Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler, Mark.
I said I don't want trouble!
And drunken karate master, Zero.
You've lost your boss.
And now...
Call.
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
When did we cover the first movie?
I think it might have been 2 years ago.
That's right. It was a 2021 release, right?
In America, I believe so. I think it came out from Wellgo and then went on to Hiya.
Yeah.
And that's how we were able to see it.
Yeah. Yuga Sakamoto, our director of the first movie, first Baby Assassins, and our favorite, a janitor.
No, it's not. That's not our favorite. What are you talking about?
Can't even be sarcastic about it. He's back, baby. Assassins 2, babies. That's the movie we're covering today. I don't know if I like this director, man. Everything I've seen of his, I mean, a janitor was my pick because I thought it would be funny. You should see Zero's face right now. Just freaking, like, yeah.
I still don't know why you picked that, but go on.
No, I picked it because I'm like, oh, it's funny. It's also like a bit of like an in joke. Be like, wouldn't it be fun to just cover something that's just fucking terrible? But anyways, his track record so far, in my opinion, is not so great. So I was not looking forward to this movie. But I had a glimmer of hope that it would be better. It would be better in some ways. And it's really just like the first movie again. And I'm going to start complaining from here on out.
Right. Yeah, I knew you would not like this, considering you didn't like the first movie.
Yeah.
I like aspects of the first movie, and you can go back to that review to listen to exactly our points, but... to sum it all up, it's just a little, it's a little slow. It's a little quirky. It's interesting, but it's got Kensuke Sonomura doing the action, and that's kind of what livens it up. So if you don't like these characters and you don't like sitting with them for so long, then yeah, you're going to hate everything about this, because essentially this is kind of like a teenage, maybe not teenage anymore, young adult slice of life kind of story where you're just sitting with these two girls and their mishaps. They're kind of idiots and kind of absent-minded and very energetic and rambunctious, and I like them as characters. I think the actresses do a great job at bringing these two to life and making them their own, because when you see them on screen, it's just like, yes, these are realized people. But I think the problem that some people might have, which you have and me to a little bit extent, is that the story is just about their lives. And that's it. You're just kind of sitting with them in a lot of static shots.
Oh my God, yes.
And if you don't like this, if you don't like sitting with characters in static shots, unbroken static shots sometimes, then it's going to drag a lot for you.
Yeah, no, you summed up my review. Okay, I can leave now. Bye. I'm that person who hates all those things. And I'm fine with slow. I am. But I need something visual to break it up. If it's going to be a lot of talking, I would like a little bit of visual variety. Hell, even a slow camera zoom, very standard in the industry. You know, like if it's two people just talking. And especially in these movies where I think they're just ad-libbing. I have no doubt they're just, talking off the top of my head. The Yuga was just like, pad out the runtime, please. Just say whatever you want as long as we get to the main talking points of the conversation. But it's like, it just drags on. But there's nothing visual to really... make it interesting. Even the slowest of zooms would have been something engaging. But it's just literally a camera on a tripod and the slowest conversations. I actually don't think that they have a lot of energy. One of them has energy, like an annoying amount of energy.
Right, right, yeah.
And then the other ones, I mean, Sayori Izawa is the one I think is the highlight of the movie, but she is lacking energy.
And that's that's her character. She's a little more toned down, where Akari is a little more high up. But in this film, they're no longer highlighting their differences, because in the first movie that was a big thing. Sayori's character, she was a little more timid and internal, and she had some problems connecting with other people because of that. And in this film, they're kind of like a duo now. They come as a pair. Even though their characters are pretty distinct, they are doing everything as one in this story. And I actually like the setup of this movie a lot. I like the idea of them fleshing out this assassin world a little bit more. That now we have lower level assassins, like low tier assassins who are just scraping by, and they are told by their handler that if the full-time assassins maybe get killed, they could potentially take their place. And that is the catalyst for this whole story, because we're introduced to two new babies, I guess you can say, these two male assassins. And we actually kind of cut back and forth between them every now and then to see what they're up to and what's their slice of life story.
Mm, yeah, the first, 10 minutes of the film are about these two. And then once, I actually was interested to see where this would tie in. And then it cuts back to our original baby assassins, and the freaking movie just grinds to a halt. I actually hated every scene that had nothing to do with moving the story along. But if you're cutting out all the scenes that don't move the story along, the movie's only 20 minutes.
Yeah, the movie's pretty short, because a lot of the film is about these two characters interacting with each other and reacting to their situation. So I know you didn't like it, but actually, okay, I enjoyed this stuff. This is like millennial Gen Z problems. You forgot to pay your accumulating gym membership, so you owe just like this huge amount, and you're just fucked. And you just kind of lost your job. So now it's kind of a retreading of the first movie, but I feel these problems feel a little more relatable, because I like them a little more in this. I like their interactions a little more. They felt, it felt like their timing and their chemistry was a lot better here. So I didn't mind that it felt meandering, because I kind of now warmed up to these characters.
Okay. I wouldn't have minded this weren't live action. I mean, okay, that's not fair, actually. The fact that it's live action isn't necessarily a problem. But for something that's so, for these moments, slice of life moments, because it's so matter of fact, there's no visual flair. It's quite literally a series of static shots, uninterrupted, of people talking, sometimes in the far background. You know, like, they're not even close up. It's either that, or the fact that there's no score, nothing undercutting, maybe, because I didn't find it personally funny, right? I didn't find the comedy really all there. That's my personal take, but at least a little bit of like a whimsy to the music, or having any music.
Like something to set a tone, maybe, so you can get a sense of maybe where the scene is going or something.
Yeah, but it's like quiet and unfunny. So I'm just waiting for these scenes to end. And I find myself just wishing, it was like, what if this... I sat there and I thought, what if this was an anime? And it's like, because then we can have these extremely expressive moments of... the character played by Akari, who's the kind of the chatty one of the group. She's, you know, I can imagine her with like these extreme expressions, you know, like, and, you know, like these visual elements that, you know, you expect in an anime, and all that. But without all that, I just found myself just feel like I was losing my mind. Because, you know, it was just not a movie for me. I don't like these archetypes. They're very much taken straight out of know, Japanese, no, I mean, it's literally Japanese media, but like, if we're going to be like that, it needs to have something more interesting going on. So that's just my take. I don't know. I could just, I found myself wishing I just understood Japanese so I could take out my phone
and just and look listen at it. To it. Yeah.
I couldn't do that. So I'm just staring at the screen, like, waiting because you for need to read the thing.
Subtitles, yeah.
Yes,
that's kind of the issue because visually it's boring, and you need to get the information. So, but you can't passively listen to it unless they come out with an English dub. So, you kind of have to just read what they're saying. And if you, again, if you don't like them, if you don't like what they're talking about, you're not interested in the fact that they're trying to make these late payments, or that they really like food, or they get addicted to gambling. Then none of this is going to be for you, really. Yeah, the cinematographer is not helping us out at all because, it's, like you said, it's literally just static shots. So we're just left with a very probably, I want to say maybe that's intentional because the first movie I feel was probably a COVID movie. So that's probably why we just sat with these two actresses, filmed them in one room, made something really quick, and then we can do our actions in like a whole nother setting, you know, get everybody vaccinated and whatnot. Yeah. And because that, I think that movie was slightly a hit. So they're just repeating the formula. And that's probably just what we're going to get with this series.
Right. And I'm definitely maybe not the minority, but I'm definitely not, I don't jump on that bandwagon. Like a lot of people were looking forward to this movie and they liked the first movie. I'm not one of that crowd. So I'm going to obviously be a lot more cynical, a lot more critical of this film, especially in the sense that like this is not a COVID movie, so I was hoping that it would be a little bit more interesting. And I've heard critiques saying that like, oh, you have to be a little bit more gentle with critiquing these films because they're lower budget. And like, yeah, that doesn't mean that you can't have a little bit more visual flair, make it a little bit more interesting. I don't personally like the writing, but I don't know, that's just me.
Right. But so oh, so I was going to say, the movie tries to change things up. So they added the male assassins that we sometimes cut to. And I thought that was kind of fun. I think we probably should have cut to them maybe a little more to break it up. Yeah. And then they add some new, I guess, like senior assassin office level members. Mm-hmm. And they are so disposable. They are so uninteresting. I hated every minute with them because they added absolutely nothing to it. I would have been fine if it was just them speaking to their handler like on the phone or something, or just the one guy, but they add two new characters and they're awful. I hated every minute they were on screen, and I'm gonna spoil it, kind of. One of them gets shot and I was like, oh, thank you, get out of this fucking movie.
Oh, but that nothing comes out of that, right?
Well, yeah. Ultimately,
and that's how I really feel about the film. It's like it kind of, everything it touches on, it doesn't even feel like there's really a resolution. There's only one thing that gets resolved, which is the fact that our lead characters are being pursued capacity by these new younger lower level assassins. That's the only thing that has resolution. They're still in debt.
They're still in the third movie they're going to be in debt again. They're probably homeless.
Then I'll be laughing. Because I don't like these characters.
It's going to be a little hard because like I don't want to spoil it, but I feel that the characters feel a little more interesting at the end because they are getting pursued and it kind of feels like they're in danger. It feels like there's actually stakes. You can see that the two characters are female assassins. They're very skilled, but they actually have people who are that seem to be on their level. So when things start going down at the end, I felt, oh, this is interesting. We're getting these nice, intimate moments between both set of characters. And I thought, oh, I don't know who's going to come out of this. And that's when I felt like, oh, okay, I like these characters now. This is good because I'm slightly attached to both sets.
Okay. That's funny. I'm gonna jump on what you said, but without spoiling it, there's a moment in the final fight that occurs, and it's like, oh, our main character got bested. It turns out,
yeah,
it's like it's all a dream. It's like, what? I've never seen that before. I've never seen that in a fight scene. Maybe not never, but like I can't recall.
They retconned a lot. Yes,
mid-fight. Like, what happened? Yeah, like, I don't know, but at least this movie doesn't end on, you know, someone getting shot as the resolution to the fight.
So, yeah, that leads us into the action. Kensuke Sonomura, again, returning. He has been doing lots of Japanese martial arts films lately. He's all over the place, getting a lot of work because he has a very, very distinct style that he's just been constantly iterating on and putting into all his films. We just recently talked about Once Percenter. And then before that, there was Bad City, then The First Baby Assassins, and then Hydra. And now Baby Assassins 2. Mm-hmm. And this is interesting because I feel like he's loosening up a little bit with how strict and close maybe his fights were getting. Like this feels a little closer to fight choreography, like maybe like older fight choreography as opposed to something he was doing recently. But that's not to say that this is a bad thing.
Sure. I wouldn't say it completely eliminates the close quarters combat. Like it doesn't have the same level of clinching that you expect, like the stand-up grappling that you expect to see in his more recent films. Because they are like the last, as much as I don't love a lot of the movies that Sayori's in, I actually like her as a performer. I just recently found out she was a stunt person for one of the actresses in John Wick 4.
Yeah.
So I just really, you know, I like her as a performer. I just don't really love the projects she's attached to, but she's great. You know, she's still like the standout of this film. And then we have another standout, Joey Iwanaga. He plays one of the lower level assassins who's chasing her. So like it ultimately culminates into a fight between the two of them. And again, we won't spoil anything, but we'll just say that like I like this. Like Sayori's character in this film, I don't remember it being so much in the first one, but she's moving a lot more like a boxer. Right? She's trying to channel a lot more of that. And it's like the boxing clinch, if you will, which is just kind of like two rhinos kind of pushing against one another. Mm-hmm. that kind of approach. So it's close quarters, but it's less of the extreme close-up swinging and missing kind of thing that you saw in Hydra or The Last Baby Assassins. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like there's near misses. There's lots of near misses, but it doesn't feel that close when I in that aspect. Like there's a lot of wild swings in this, which is what I like, and I feel this is probably has a lot more variety in stuff going on, and I feel a flow of the fight here as well. Like when he first did Hydra, it was a little hard to get a sense because you didn't really know what was going on too much because it's just a flurry of combinations. But it's like stand-up game to knife and then the grappling. Mm-hmm. And then here, like, I like that you can kind of... It feels like a little slower, but it feels like a rhythm. This has a more dancey rhythm to it, but but I like it. Mm-hmm. I like that it feels like a little akin to maybe older fight choreography. I just can't put my finger on it. There's something about it that it doesn't feel as, like, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't feel like his older stuff.
Sure. I mean, like the way I was describing it, if we're talking about combat sports in general, if I'm stand up, there's either the long range, the mid range, and the close range. I think more traditional action choreography is like everything's basically fought in mid or the long range. And Kensuke Sonomura has been experimenting and, in my opinion, succeeding a lot in the close range. Like so close to the fact that they start to get to the ground, they start grappling, and it looks great cinematically. And now he's starting to push back a little bit more towards that mid to close range. And it's like, it's not strictly close range. So that's why I feel like, okay, you're right. Like it's starting to go further out. Like the two actors are being a little bit more spread out. Plus there's a more, like there's not a lot of acrobatics per se, but you know, the other performer, Joey Iwanaga, like he does a little bit more of like the flashier moves. Like you never saw that from Sayori. Sayori's a lot more, she's fast and she's athletic, but she's
very grounded with her fighting style.
Exactly. So like she has a different style. So that's why this fight, or the fights in this film, feel a little bit different, which I'm fine with. I'm actually okay with it. I like that everyone's playing up to their strengths too, and also trying new things like Sayori's changing angles, pressure fighting, like trying to get in there, like really laying on that aggression. You know, she's not just like because like if I remember correctly, in the first Baby Assassin, she's just playing possum against Masanori Mimoto. Like Masanori is just toying with her.
Oh yeah, and he was just so much taller than her.
Yeah.
Their height difference, it was such a weird visual. It almost felt like you almost felt sorry for her because she was just it was like one of those things where like he could put his hand on her head and she just like
would just flail.
Yeah, she would just flail. And the reason why she won is because of how protagonists usually win a Kensuke Sonomura fight. So surprisingly, no one gets shot out in this.
Well, in the fight scene, but there's guns in the movie. That's not the point. Guns. But I wouldn't say I love the final fight. But it's good. It's serviceable. I think the only highlights of the film that really got my attention were the fights. That was the only thing I could latch onto. Obviously, I didn't like anything else.
Yeah.
We kind of glossed over like there's. Oh well, I'll say I think this movie has more fights, which I like that about this film. The first movie had like two. It's like the very beginning and the very end. I think I've been calling it a shit sandwich. But this is at least it's a little bit more paced out. I'll give it that. Because like we have the bank robbery fight, that one's good. Sorry, looks really good.
She does great with a binder, you know, office supply fight, and then whacking him in the head with a phone. Very short, but you get that nice moment where it's just the camera following her, and it's all unbroken, and she's just doing all that choreography. She's just such a great performer. Mm-hmm. I want her in better movies.
Exactly, I want her in better movies.
Right.
And, yeah, like I just don't love Sakamoto's productions. And then there's the funny fight. I'm putting that in quotations between the two actresses who are or the two characters.
Oh, they're in the giant. Mascots. They're in the giant mascots.
Yeah.
I like that fight. It's just so short. Yeah. That I feel like that could have been stretched out into this long thing, but they unfortunately cut that really short because that was just such a nice, funny break from mediocrity.
Yeah. I've been noticing a lot of movies, a lot of media lately has been doing this comedy angle. It's like, what if, like, you know, brother's son had a mascot fight, right?
And oh, yeah, that was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, that was exactly. That was perfect. That was funny. And for some reason, this one didn't even get a giggle out of me. Like, oh, look, one's a panda, one's a tiger.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was cute. It's just so over that kind of forget about it. And then it's interesting because, so like I was mentioning how it feels like Sonomura's going like steering like a little bit away from what he was doing with Hydra. But then before the final fight, we actually have kind of like gun exchange. And it reminded me of what he did with Resident Evil Vendetta. I don't know if you remember that. He was the action director on that. That's a CGI movie. And they're fucking sliding all over the ground in that movie. Yeah. I love that. I know you hated that one too, but I absolutely love that final fight. And you can see hints of it in this firefight at the end, but they can't really move like that because they're real people and they're tethered to the earth and gravity properly is pulling them down. So it's just like they can't like slide all over the ground like they're doing. They're not slicked up with oil.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that really it? Just the three fights? I mean, I forgot about the first one. That one's like anti-choreography. It's the two assassins, the two new assassins.
It's just an ugly, messy brawl. I don't think it's really meant to be anything. I wish it was better because that would have set them up as intimidating. For later, because we would have known, they can really fight. We know they're pursuing them. When's it going to happen? Because they should be scared.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't click just now, but I'm like, yeah, the fact that that doesn't set them up as a preamble for them being a good threat for the main characters that's a big failure. That's a huge failure because they're like, oh, this wasn't even funny. Like, it'd be funny if it was these two characters winning by the skin of their teeth, and they just kind of win because they just tussle and shove their assailants into the ground harder than them. They shoved them back and they shot them in the face. And
yeah,
it's like, that's it. That's it. Not really yeah. choreography. And then mm-hmm. Suddenly the movie's all about our lead actresses, and I just didn't care for those characters. I'll give them one last kudos though. I think Akari does a little bit more.
She does.
Yes.
So. I was surprised. I you can see her doing things that it feels like maybe that would be a stunt person, but then sure. like the camera pan up and you say, oh hey, she did a role. Good on her. I mean, like, that sounds condescending, but it's not. You know, some people are just not meant to be physical and be action stars, so because yeah. when you see her in the first movie, she does nothing yeah. really, so yeah. the fact that they gave her a little more, that's cool. So maybe in the third movie, maybe it'll be the two babies fighting each other. Maybe that'll be like the big climax, because they need the relationship needs to go somewhere, because it's not really going anywhere
yeah right now. Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe you enjoyed their whole slice of life thing. I don't know. I've already said it before. It wasn't just live action, and it was so bored, like so static and quiet. Maybe, but what it is right now, I kind of want to re-edit the movie. I do. I really want to take the movie, take the original, and just the original masters, and just cut it up, throw in some score, just like cut out some of the meandering dialogue, and I feel like it would just be a more entertaining film. Like 10 minutes is all I'm asking. Take away 10 minutes of the film, you get a solid 90 minute film. And but then I don't know, that's just me. Hey, I'm just asking if they want to pay me, if they want for that little project. But yeah, wasn't a fan of this. But I knew I wasn't going to be a fan of this, but, you know, even though I was a little bit hopeful.
So I'm guessing that's a not recommend.
Absolutely not for me. No, no. if you've been listening to my recommendations, or like listen to what I like and don't like, you kind of already knew I wouldn't like this film. So,
oh, yeah.
No, totally. That's definitely a no for me, dog.
Right. So I kind of mentioned it. The first one, I didn't hate it. I was okay with it. The fight saved it, because I really liked that last fight. And I think with this one, I like the story and characters a little more. I think maybe because I warmed up to them. Because of the first one, I had that pre-existing knowledge and attachment to them. And here, I like how they're just nincompoops. They're kind of dumb. They're kind of silly. They're kind of goofy Japanese girls. And they're just messing up with their lives because they don't know any better. But the problem is, like we mentioned earlier, there's just so many lulls that it's a little difficult to sit through. So I also do wish they cut a little bit out of this, because I think it would have been better if it was shorter. So if you like the first one, I'll say you'll probably like this one more, because that's how I feel about it. And I don't think the last fight is better than the first movies.
Oh no.
But I do like this fight a lot. I like how it's not just Kensuke Sonomura doing exactly what I've been seeing him do. It feels a little different, even though there are still flourishes of like his fight attributes in there. So
yeah,
you can check out the fights in this. And maybe watch the movie if you like the first one.
No, don't watch the movie. I'd say just watch the fights if it's available somewhere. And that's my opinion. Even though, yeah, that last fight, it doesn't have that gun as the final shot. But man, the way that it retcons its own conclusion is weird. Yeah, it was funny. I noticed that Haya tried to made a post today. It's the end of March, the day that we're recording this, but they posted something about Women's History Month, and Baby Assassins 1 is on the video. I'm like, dude, it's the end of March. Like, why are you posting this now? You completely missed the mark. But I think they're just trying to get on the Assassin's 2 bandwagon hype train. Yeah, so go watch Baby Assassin's 2 if you're curious. But yeah, if you listen to my thoughts, you already know I'm not a fan of it.
They're gonna, I think they confirmed Baby Assassin's 3. So I'm gonna have to put you through this again, Will. I'm so sorry. It's gonna be, they're gonna up the runtime because they'll have more money, but they won't give the cinematographer any more money. It'll just be static shots. It'll be longer takes of babbling and nonsense and not paying your rent and all this ridiculous stuff that young adults do.
I'll watch it if Kensuke Sonomura is not only the second unit, but he's also the director. I'm sorry, Yuga. I don't like your films. I really don't.